Morning. First is in Mark 10. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And now from James. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Good morning, everyone. I have the distinct pleasure of introducing our speaker today, our guest speaker. This is Tom Began. He's the director of the City of Children in Ensenada, Mexico. He's here with his wife, Jeannie, his daughter, Jenny, and he affectionately calls Carmen and Floor his adopted daughters from the City of Children. Tom spent 31 or 32 years at UPS, and he is retired from UPS, and he's working harder than ever now as the director at the City of Children. When we have gone down there, he's always been a gracious and hospitable host, and personally, I love to go to the City of Children. It's a magical place, and I would encourage any of you and all of you who've never thought about going down there for a visit to think about it, because it's a wonderful place, and it will change you. It will change you when you see these beautiful kids and just how their lives are enhanced and made better because of people like you and people like Tom and the staff down there. It's a magical place. Anyway, Tom, we're glad you're here, and we look forward to hearing you speak.
Good morning. Good to see everyone. See a few familiar faces here with us. I'm honored to be here with you today to talk to you about the Word of God and also the City of Children. How many of you have been to the City of Children before? We got lots of hands. That's good. As Bruce said, I encourage you to not just think about it, though, but to do it as the Nike ad says, and to get that passport and come on down with the group. The group is coming from your congregation, coming next week for Saturday and Sunday. That's a long trek, I know, but it is well worth the trip in itself. Bruce mentioned that I have my family here with me, at least part of my family. I have my wife of 42 years now with me, and my daughter, who is Julie Began, and then I have the two girls from the City of Children. I'm going to ask them to stand. I told them coming down here I was going to ask them to speak, and so I figure this is a lesser thing if they don't have to speak, if they'll just stand. So Floor, I see Floor first. Floor, why don't you stand up so they can see who you are. Okay. And then Carmen, stand up so they can see who you are. Okay, very good. I do that because I want you to put a face with what we are working with down there. These two lovely young ladies are great examples of what your contributions produce, you might say, at the City of Children. Now, Floor right now, she is the office manager on the Americano side, so she works with me in the American office at the City of Children in Ensenada, Mexico. She grew up at the home with, I think, two or three sisters there, has a degree in accounting, and is looking now to go back and get a master's in accounting as well. Floor would just crunch the numbers if she had her way of doing things. She's a wonderful servant of God, and those of you who have been down there have interacted with her and know how sweet she is and what a great job she does. Carmen, she is a college student. She grew up at the home as well. She has a brother who's involved in Baja Missions and grew up at the home. She has other siblings that grew up at the home. And her mother also works at the home now and is one of the mamas that takes care of the children. Carmen is in, I think, her third year of college studying communications and photography, and she will graduate. I think it's next year that she'll graduate. So she's also a great servant. We have currently two girls that are in college right now. They go to classes, they come back to the home, they do their homework, and they help out at the home as well. First, I want to express my appreciation to the congregation for your support of the City of Children. The three children that you support are all doing well, and we are honored that you have taken such an interest in the home and have been longtime participants in supporting the work there at the City of Children. One of my favorite books of the Bible is the book of James. It speaks to so many things that relate to the Christian life in the real world. A common theme throughout the book of James is that of attitude. And James addresses our attitude towards the trials of life, towards prayer, temptation, partiality, and much more. And one of the stronger challenges that James gives us is found in chapter 1 and verse 22, where he writes, "Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers." He continues in verse 25 and says that the person who is not a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, will be blessed in what he does. In other words, James says, put your faith into action. And I have to ask right now while I'm thinking of it, what time am I supposed to be done here? I promise to be done by halftime. Is that all right? For those of you who don't know anything about the game starts, I think, at 3:30 or 4. So, you know, halftime will be about 5 o'clock. Is that good? No. Are we done at noon? Is that what it is? Okay. All right, so we'll run rapidly here. You may be asking for too much, brother. Okay, so I'm going to go back a little bit. In verse 22 in chapter 1, he writes, "Prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers." And he continues in verse 25 and says that the person who is not a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer will be blessed in what he does. In other words, James says, put your faith into action. In chapter 1 and verse 27, James writes, "This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, and that is to visit the orphans and the widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world." James is telling his readers here what putting your faith into action looks like. And then in chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, James continues this discussion and gives clarification to what the real faith is by a simple example. He begins with a question in verse 14 saying, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but he has no works? Can that faith save him?" He continues in verse 15. He says, "If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed, and be filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that?" And he closes out here by saying, "Even so, faith, if it has no works, is is dead, being by itself." We're not talking here about earning our way to heaven, but we are talking about putting into practice the things that we learn from the scriptures, the examples that we have. Paul gives clarity here as to how being a Christian, a worshiper of God, a religious person, should manifest itself in our everyday life. He is saying that pure religion, pure worship, or being religious, if you wish, is about caring for others. He reinforces that idea in chapter 2, where he tells them not to favor the rich, but to treat everyone equally, to love the neighbor as thyself, and to personally get involved with helping those in need and not just providing lip service. James is also saying, don't get entangled in the things of the world. And he says to keep oneself unstained by the world. It's been my experience that if I'm busy doing good, I'm a happier person and much less likely to get involved in the things that might damage or hinder my relationship with God and with his people. What is important to recognize in this passage is that being religious requires action on my part. We cannot sit and talk about it and sing about it and hug each other into eternity. But we are challenged by James to take action and to do something. We checked into a hotel last night. We traveled up yesterday, stopped off at Pepperdine University, and took the girls on a tour of the university, had a little lunch, and then we came up here. At the hotel, there was several people milling around the parking lot and in the lobby area and that, and they were a little different, you know, and we were kind of trying to guess what this group of people was. Well, I found out later that there was a ventriloquist and magicians conference there. My daughter said they looked nerdy, you know. But think about it, okay? If you are a ventriloquist or a magician, and you go to conferences and you go to classes and you, you know, you talk about it and you learn about it and everything else, but you never practice it, is that profitable? The same way, James is telling us that that we have a challenge, and that is that we have to put our faith into practice. Throughout the scripture, we read of God's care and concern for the orphan, the widow, and the poor. And in Exodus, Deuteronomy, Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah, Hosea, and many other books of the Bible, God continually reminds his people to protect and to take care of the orphaned and the widowed and the poor, and he rebukes them when they neglect that responsibility. James' message and challenge here is not to think that because I show up at the assembly and I am therefore a person of faith, a true worshiper. James calls us to action. Action towards the orphaned and the widowed, the less fortunate. Action that keeps us from the entanglements of this world. And men and women of faith are people of action. Action, though, takes us out of our comfort of the pews and into the world desperately in need of love and kindness and compassion and the message of the cross. I think that James is addressing an issue here that continues to plague churches today. The mindset that being a Christian consists, mainly of going to Bible classes and worship assemblies. We are sometimes more concerned about the music, the mood, and the messenger during the worship than we are about applying the message. We love to hear the word and we love to talk about it, but many times we're not willing to apply that into our own lives. And James says, where there is faith, there is action. In his commentary on the book of James, William Barclay states this about verse 27. He says, all throughout history, men have tried to make ritual and liturgy a substitute for sacrifice and service. They have made religion splendid within the church at the expense of neglecting it outside the church. And this is by no means to say that it is wrong to seek to offer the noblest of the most splendid worship within God's house, but it is also to say that all worship is empty and idle unless it sends a man out to love God by loving his fellow man and to walk more purely in the tempting ways of the world. The City of Children is a place where many have put their faith into action. They have blessed the lives of many children and the adults in Ensenada and throughout Baja because they have put that faith into action. Their own lives have been blessed in the process of serving others. The Ventura congregation in the past and continues to play an important role in the part of the growth and the support of the home and the children. Those who have made the trip to the home have an understanding of what it's like, but don't know much about the history of the home. And those of you here who have never been to the home are likely to ask, what is the City of Children? When it comes to supporting missionary efforts, I am a believer in boots on the ground, as the expression goes. I don't believe in supporting a work by just throwing money at it, but rather I think that it's good stewardship that we be aware of what we're investing in. As an elder at the Murrieta congregation, I would not vote for a work or for spending money or sending money to support a missionary effort without knowing, number one, that what it's all about, who the people were, and be willing to send people for personal visits. That being said, I want to take a few minutes of your time to tell you a little bit about the home and what does take place there, just so you have a little bit of history about us. This year we celebrate 43 years of service to the children and the state of Baja. And over the course of 43 years, God has truly blessed this ministry. He's carried us through many trials and difficulties and has never failed to provide for our needs. The work began in 1972 as both an evangelistic and benevolent effort, and we continue with the zeal for both to this day. So in 1970, a gentleman by the name of Earl Farmer was sitting at his breakfast table in Norco, California, and he read an article in the paper about an orphanage that had a lot of needs in Tijuana, Mexico. A few days later, he was sitting in the barber chair, and he was talking about this article to his barber. And his barber says, well, I go down there at the end of every month and take food and clothing and everything else. He was familiar with it. That touched Earl's heart, and he decided that he was going to research the situation in Mexico and see if he could help out there. Through the course of time over the next 2 years, a series of events took place and that laid the groundwork to start our home in Ensenada. They formed a board of directors, leased 60 acres of property with one house on the property, raised a meager $380 a month for support, hired a Mexican director, and started accepting children in May of 1972. For over 43 years now, the home has been totally supported by Churches of Christ, congregations, schools, individuals from the church, and colleges as well. Over that span of 43 years, much has changed. Now we have 25 structures on the property. They all have running water, plumbing, and electricity. That was not the case when they first started. Nearly all the structures, cement driveways, sidewalks, have been built by members of the church, young and old, coming to the home on weekends and for staying weeks at a time, building what is now called the City of Children. We have a 6 to 8 foot wall that goes entirely around the 60 acres. Most of those bricks were handmade, cement mixed, poured into the molds, dried in the sun, and then built the wall around there. Many, many of those bricks have been built by young people that have come week after week, month after month. 2 years ago, we opened up our Creative Arts and Learning Center. There is a music room, an art room, a karate studio, over 20 computers now, a library, 3 meeting rooms. The facility is fully furnished, and there are classes there throughout the week. So we have a karate instructor that comes in twice a week and teaches 2 to 3 sessions each time that he comes in. We have a music and art teacher that come in twice a week that teach 2 to 3 lessons each time they come in. Their emphasis has been on music as of lately. They have instruments that they are learning to play. They are learning to read music. We also have a series of computers there for them to come in and do their homework. We are in the process now of setting up a reading lab that hopefully in the next week or so will be functional, where the kids can go online and assess their reading skills and then start to develop their reading skills from there. Currently at the home, we have 90 children and 24 staff members. The children's ages range from 8 months to 23 years. We have 2 college students, as I mentioned. I think we have 4 high school students right now, and we have a group of middle schoolers coming up pretty quickly, where we'll have several more college students. The children come to us through what is called the DIF, which is the Government Social Services, and they come from a variety of different backgrounds. In most cases, they are at least neglected. Many times they are abused physically, sexually, emotionally. They're malnourished at times, and they are, when they arrive, grateful to have 3 square meals a day, a safe environment to stay in, clothing, and a variety of other things. Your support, what does it provide? It provides food, clothing, shelter, stability, structure, security, education. All of our kids go to school. Spiritual guidance. We have a Bible class every day at the home, I think it's every day at the home. We have a doctor that comes to the home every week and cares for the children, checks them, makes sure that they get their shots, makes sure that if they have colds or that they get the proper treatment. We have a dentist that also comes to the home every week and treats the kids, takes care of their cavities and a variety of other things. We have a psychologist that comes to the home every week. We have a psychiatrist that comes to the home and works with specific kids from time to time, depending on the need. All of this is paid for by, again, the churches and individuals from the Churches of Christ. We have a speech therapist that comes to the home and a physical therapist as well. The children's daily routine consists of getting up between 5:30 and 6 every morning and doing their chores. They maintain their dorms individually. They clean the floors, they sweep and mop the floors, the bathrooms, they clean those, they make their beds, they make sure their clothes are picked up, and then they're outside typically taking care of the grounds. They sweep, they shovel weeds, they do a variety of different things, but they all have tasks and chores to do. They go to school around, most of them, around 8 o'clock in the morning, and they're there till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They come home, they have their lunch, they do their homework, and then they have time to play before they go to Bible class. Most of the children are there there for the duration. So generally the kids come to us, they're young when they arrive. These last children we've had, we just got a family. I think the youngest one was 8 months old, and the oldest is 4 years old. Excuse me. We generally don't take individual children. We take children, families. And so most of our children, because of the Mexican government does not adopt or separate families, those children will be there throughout the time that they're growing up. I see I'm going to go over, so I'm going to have to leave some things out. I apologize. I want to talk about just two things first off, and then we'll close up. Number one is that people ask me about safety and security there. Bruce can tell you, anybody who's been there can tell you that it is a safe environment. We would not invite you to come if it was not a safe environment. We have groups that come out throughout the spring and the summer and the fall. They'll come anywhere between 30 and 75, 80 people to stay at the home. They take a bus. Usually they're flying into San Diego. They're taking a bus down to the City of Children. The facility is locked up every day. In the evening from 10 o'clock until 6 in the morning. We've not had any incidents over the course of the 43 years. We've never lost anybody, okay? These groups, I've been there on a full-time basis for 5 years now. We've never had any incidents or situations that were threatening to any of our people that are visiting. The other thing is that people ask me what happens to these children or what becomes of them. And I can just give you a few examples. First off, I want to say that, you know, not everybody who comes and lives there turns out to be the perfect child, okay? And we could all claim that with our own families and that, okay? Young people are young people, and they're going to make decisions that we don't always like and that are not always good for them. For the most part, besides what we provide for them and give them an environment in which they can grow and mature and make the right decisions, we've had a very good success rate. You know, I have the two ladies right here that are in front of you, but I'll just mention a few more. We have Mario. Some of you know Mario and have been around him. Mario now works in Atlanta, works with Greater Atlanta Christian School. He has a degree in graphic design. He's very successful there in what he does. He's teaching soccer. Teaching Bible classes with the teens and doing a variety of other things there, as well as the graphic design. Misha, who is Carmen's brother, grew up at the home, and he works with Baja Missions. And if you don't know, Baja Missions is like a branch, you might say, of the City Children Outgrowth. And Misha works with them. We have Moe, as we call him. He is someone who's spent several years at the home, grew up at the home, went through the police academy for Ensenada, and is now a policeman in Ensenada. And I could tell you story after story of teachers and doctors and nurses and lawyers situations like that where the kids have been very successful and done very well. Someone's back there looking at their watch. So, to end this and say thank you very much again for your support. I will be available afterwards if you have more questions about anything. I wish I had more time to tell you the story. As I said, I have no trouble filling up the time with what takes place at the City of Children. But the point of the message with James is that people of faith are people of action. We appreciate the action that you have taken to coming to the City of Children and to working with the kids there and the staff and all that you've done for the home. I know it's the practice of Churches of Christ to give an invitation and to allow you the opportunity to come and to make Christ the Lord of your life, to put him on in baptism, to make a commitment. But I want to say to you that that commitment entails that there's action in your life. And as James said, faith without works is dead. You've been great servants of the City of Children and of the Kingdom of God, and we appreciate that. But if you have... if you've not made Christ the Lord of your life, if you've not committed to him, or if you've found that you've been less than you want to be in serving God, and now's an opportunity to come down and make it right with God. Do I have a song leader? All right. So let's stand as...